rebuked the winds and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the winds died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Well, I want you to all get your imaginations working a little bit this morning. Be a little bit of a different sermon. But just picture. There's going to be some pictures, there's going to be some text, but think about it. Mark chapter 4 is a passage where Jesus is teaching in a boat all day long. Think about that. Maybe some of you farmers can relate, or maybe some of you, those who like to fish, if you're on a boat and it's really, really hot, those of you who have been to Israel, and it's hot, the sun is beaming down, it's boiling hot, and he's standing there teaching all day. Are you sweating yet? Anybody sweating? I know I'm getting a little sweaty. Maybe just because I'm nervous. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody, can you sense that? When we read the text of Scripture, we need to just envision it, feel it. It's not just a theory, but it's also a life. So Jesus is teaching. He taught all day long. There was anticipation in the crowd. What is Jesus going to say next? What is this prophet, this man, this teacher, this Messiah? What is he going to say? Maybe the friends who brought their paralytic friend to Jesus, were they there? Were they in the audience? Was that man who was paralyzed on the mat, who was lowered down through the roof, was he there? We don't know, but maybe he was. There was an atmosphere that was ripe with expectancy. Can you smell the fish? Maybe some of you don't like fish. Ooh, those wiggly little things. I don't like those fish. Some of them were cut up. Some of them were there. Can you smell the sea salt air from the Sea of Galilee? Can you smell it? Can you sense it? Can you taste it? Can you see him teaching? Are you one of those people on that shore? Are you hearing Jesus? Or maybe some of you would be like a few of the maybe tired fishermen. Maybe they had fished all night and then Jesus came and they're a little tired and they were kind of nodding off. And then Peter was standing next to one of them and gave him a little elbow and said, "Hey, listen up. Listen up." Or maybe some of the people were a little too noisy or rowdy and those apostles said, "Hey, calm down back there. Pay attention." Well, Jesus taught all day long. Much like this. He taught the parable of the sower, the lamp on the stand, the parable of the growing seed, the parable of the mustard seed, and I'm sure many more that aren't mentioned are here, just as John talks to us about the end of his gospel. If all that Jesus said and did were written down, they'd fill all the libraries of the world. I'd love to read some of those libraries, wouldn't you? Man, maybe in heaven we'll get to hear more. Mark just hits the highlights here of what Jesus taught that day. So he's finished. And I don't know about you, but I know there's a few times where I've taught for quite a while, and you're kind of tired after you teach. Imagine if you're teaching all day. I know one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts is the passage of Paul teaching all night. And it proves that even Paul had people fall asleep during his sermon. Eutychus, right? He falls out of the window and poof! And then Paul goes down and revives him and heals him and brings him up on his feet. But preaching all day, Jesus was tired. He's the Son of God, but he was tired. And so we see him going and he says, "My friends, let us go over to the other side of the lake." Did Jesus yawn? Isn't that an interesting perspective? Jesus as a tired man. I'm sure he did. He was fully man and fully God. He was tired, and so they went on the ship, and he found a nice little cushion, and he fell asleep. He was hot, tired, you know. And then there were other boats that went with him. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit, but Were people wanting just a little more of Jesus' attention? Did they want him to teach them just a little more? Did they not quite understand what he was saying? So he's there. He's tired. So there's other boats. There's maybe some fishermen that are heading out to fish. We don't know. Whatever the reason, Jesus wanted to be alone, but he wasn't necessarily going to be alone. So Jesus goes to sleep in the back of the boat. Can you hear Jesus snoring? Some of you ladies are like, oh, that reminds me of my husband. Well, he wasn't asleep long when a furious squall comes up. A furious squall. The waves overtook the boat. Have any of you ever been in a boat where there's a big storm? Any of you? Yeah. I know I've been in a boat it was a little windy. We were going on a ferry from Esquimalt over to Pender Island. And yeah, you can feel it. But I don't think it was anything like this. I've been to the shores of the Atlantic Ocean after a hurricane was there. Wow. That was intense. A remnant of a hurricane hitting you at Peggy's Cove, Nova Scotia. I think I can relate to this a little bit. But when a fisherman who's been a fisherman all his life is scared and is fearful, you got to take note. And there's a carpenter in the back of the boat sleeping. Fishermen are scared, carpenter sleeping. Interesting. Right? So this squall is coming up. And unfortunately, back then, there was no weather network app. Sorry, folks. Yeah, no weather network app to connect. Oh, I guess it's only an 80% chance. This week, we meet every week for a time of prayer. My wife poked me about 20 after 5 to 5:30 and said, "The wind is howling outside." This was Friday morning. We usually meet Friday mornings. Are you sure you're going to meet? So we were texting back and forth. Are we going to meet? Are we not going to meet? Going to meet? You know, are you okay? And we did meet, and praise the Lord, we had a wonderful time of prayer together, despite the squall that was out there. But quite common in this area, right? We get lots of wind. But imagine just being there. Put your mind in that moment. Fear of dying. Fear of drowning. Have you ever feared of drowning in your life? Maybe some of us have. We've been in that swimming pool. We've been in that lake, whatever it may be. Maybe it was in a grain bin. Yikes. Whatever it may be. You know, storms did come up pretty quickly in this area, in the Sea of Galilee. But these experienced fishermen were afraid for their lives. They were crying out. And what does Peter say? Or one of the disciples? I don't know if it was Peter. Maybe it was. Peter seems to be the one who really liked to get Jesus' attention. So I just took the liberties there, I guess, a little bit. But this disciple says, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Don't you care? Have we ever been in a place where fear mixes with anger? Don't you care, God, that I just got diagnosed with cancer? Don't you care, God, that I have pain in my back that drives me so nuts every day, and pain in my knees, pain in my head, that I can't walk, sometimes I can't get out of bed? Don't you care? You might not have said it here, but I'm sure all of us at some point in our time have thought it here. And if I were to get a screenshot of your thoughts right now, some point in your life's timeline, you've said almost what this disciple said. Don't you care, God? I heard an interview this week from Paradise, California, which is now Paradise Lost, right? Watching the news, tons, 6,000 plus structures burned to the ground. Lady was on the weather network, was interviewed, and she said, "Is God on vacation in Paradise? Has he forgotten us? Don't you care, God? Don't you care?" Maybe some of you have been to that place where you've lost a child for a moment in a crowd. in a big crowd somewhere. And you find them finally, and you have that anxiety, that frustration, and you say, "There you are! Where were you?" So one of the emotions that I know I can connect with as a father. This is the disciples' state in this moment. Deep anxiety, growing anger. So you see, Jesus gets up. You know what? He could have called out that disciple right then and there. But he didn't. He could have said, "Why did you wake me up? I'm so tired. I've taught all day. Like, come on." But he didn't. No, what does he say? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and he was completely calm. Wow. I wonder if images came into the minds of the disciples of the Red Sea. The stories they had heard for years and years and years and years, passed down from generation to generation, of when the created called on the creator and the creation is changed. What a powerful thought. And you know what? It wasn't just the disciples who experienced this. And I love that little caveat, that little addition in verse 36. It says, there were also other boats with him. There are also other boats with him. You know, this picture, this tiny little picture gives us a picture of God's grace. You know that? How do we handle storms in our own lives? What do people see us as we walk through the storm of cancer? Or we walk through the storm of the loss of a child or a spouse? Or the storm of addiction? What does that look like? How do we look to others? Well, it doesn't take long for the disciples to realize God is in our boat. God is in our boat. When Jesus speaks again, he speaks not in anger, but to the fear. There's a storm still raging. Do you know where the storm's raging? Inside here. Inside the disciples' hearts. Inside their minds. Right? That's where he speaks to next. "Why are you so afraid?" he says. "Do you still have no faith?" Wow. Calm. It's calm, but the storm is raging inside of them. Is there a storm inside of you today? Is there something on your mind or your heart that's just weighing you down, distracting you, discouraging you? Is there pain in your body right now that's just driving you up the wall? That storm that's there. You're asking, "Why? Teacher, do you care? Jesus, do you care?" I just want us to take a moment of quiet reflection, just to give that over to God. Whatever it may be, what is your struggle? Or maybe you're not in a struggle right now, but someone else is. Someone else that you care about very deeply is going through a storm. So just, if you want to close your eyes, you can. But we're just going to take a minute just to give our storms to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that in the midst of the storm, you are our anchor. You said, in this world, we will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. Who overcomes the world? He who has faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and you endured. You were tempted just as we are, but was without sin. That you endured the storm of the cross, of mocking, of so many things. Endured the storm of temptation from the evil one for us. Thank you, Jesus. The storm of rejection. Father God, I pray that each and every one of us have endured some storm in our life. May it be rejection, may it be pain, physically, emotionally. Father God, touch hearts and minds here today. Father God, sometimes we can get so distracted, so discouraged because of things that come against us, that we can be paralyzed with fear and anger and continually dwelling on the question, why me? Why now? We can feel like we are figuratively drowning in our circumstances. Father God, you desire to bring life and hope and peace and strength to my brothers and sisters here this morning. And I pray for that, that even in the eye of the storm, that you are that anchor that holds them firm and fast. You are that blessed assurance that whatever may come, that we can ride it out, walk through it, as we walk in faith and in step with you, Lord Jesus. Because you truly do provide and give us a table in the presence of our enemies. You walk through us through the valley of the shadow of death, and we will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort us. Thank you, Jesus. So we release ourselves on behalf of this congregation, Father. As the shepherd that you have called me to be here, I release and give over every storm to you that is being walked through here today. And those who are not here today, maybe even because of a storm, because they're in the hospital, because they are suffering in some way, shape, or form. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you would touch them, help them, Father, and that oftentimes we gain perspective, a deeper perspective of you as our shepherd in the midst of that storm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That you increase our faith. And may that be these storms in our lives, may they increase our faith, not decrease it. Thank you, Lord. So to the storms in each of our lives, you say, Jesus, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Thank you, Lord Jesus. May you continue to increase our faith, even in the midst of our suffering. That even for a short while we'll have to endure trials of many kinds, but to prove that our faith is being refined as gold. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the suffering. Thank you that we can still say, blessed be your name. And we just continue to give all these things over to you. Thank you for the stillness we've experienced now. And may it pervade our minds and hearts and lives when we leave this place. And even as we sit here, maybe in pain, and as we go out and experience the pain that the world does bring to us, the frustration, that we can, in the midst of that, continue to renew our hope, renew our strength, and we can mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not faint. Thank you, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen. So, their fear changed from situational fear to Savior-focused. What do they say at the end? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. What happened when the nation of Israel crossed the Red Sea, got to the other side? They began to sing the song of Miriam. What a beautiful song. encourage you to read it. They were rescued from that storm, so to speak, that oppression of Pharaoh. They brought them through. These seasoned fishermen had reckless fear, and that reckless fear turned into reverent fear. God was in their boat. God is in our boat. Amen? Yes. May that give us assurance today. So what fears are hindering us today? I pray that we've given them over to God in this time of prayer and that you continue to release that. Because sometimes we release and then it's very easy to just receive back those fears again. You can be situationally focused. We need to answer the questions that Jesus asked of the disciples. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Sometimes all we see is right here, right? We don't see the big picture. It's hard to look beyond that. We look beyond the pain, beyond the rejection. Maybe we need to possibly respond as the father of the demon-possessed man, or son did. His son was demon-possessed. Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says this, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Sometimes fear creates unbelief within us. So how do we handle those storms? What does that look like? It says there's other boats with them. Other boats. What was their reaction as the sea calmed? Can you imagine it? Just for a moment, the reaction of the others. Those others in their boats, fishermen, seasoned fishermen, maybe some followers who just got in some boats and said, oh, there goes Jesus, I want to follow him. Much like they did on land, they did in the Sea of Galilee as well. How do people around us see us dealing with our storms? Not that we have to be perfect. We can't be. Too oftentimes, folks, in churches, unfortunately, we put on a mask. We ask each other, you know what, how was your day? How was your week? And oftentimes, even I find myself saying, oh, I was fine. I'm just fine. It's easier to say that than to say really what you've gone through. Right? Amen? Yeah, it's easier to do that. Because you don't want to get, you know, I don't want to burden my sister. I don't want to burden my brother with what I'm dealing with. They have their own problems. But you know what? What is Acts teach us? That they shared everything in common, right? They shared every burden. There was no need there. And wouldn't it be wonderful to see that realized here in our midst? And you know, as I've gotten to know a few of you, I got to know this community that is called Faith Community Baptist Church, there is some of that happening. And I'm sure there's more than I could ever realize. But could it go deeper? Could we go deeper in our relationships as believers to share and to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ? Could we go deeper? Yes. Do we want to go deeper? Church, do you want to go deeper? To feel like when you come into this place that you belong, that you can release your burdens, that you don't have to walk out those doors today and feel the same way you did coming in. If that's the case, then we failed. We failed our Lord and Savior, who says, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Right? Are we helping others to gain more of a Christ-like perspective? Are we helping our neighbors to do the same thing? But it starts here. It starts here to release our burdens, to be real, to be authentic, to be transparent. That's what community is all about. That's what biblical community is all about. Do you have someone other than your spouse or a close family member that you can say here is someone that you connect with on a deeper level in your small group? Maybe your small group leader, your Bible study leader. Is there someone here? If you don't have that person, it begs the question, how are we doing at being open with our fears, with our anxieties, with these things? Because it's in our brokenness that Jesus comes and meets us there. and increases our faith. If we're not being open, are we giving in to unbelief? I wonder. I just leave that with you. If we're not being open, if we are not, we have fear that we're going to drown. If you're going to drown, if you are drowning in some situation in your life, or literally if you're in a lake, you're drowning, what are you doing? You're flailing, you're saying, help, help, help. Right? And we need to take the time, not just to say, I'm fine, but to look and to see where people are. There may be some here this morning, I'm sure there are, that are saying, help, help. Are we seeing it? Are we responding to the need? We need that. My prayer is that no one here, no matter how large this church may grow and is growing, would ever fall through the cracks, would ever feel that they would just be crying out, don't you care if I drown? That hurts my heart. I don't want to see anyone drown. Drown in life. Do you? No, we don't. So I just encourage you, this week, pray, is there someone in this church that's drowning? Is there someone in my life that's drowning that I don't even realize? And go to them. Go to that person. Even just ask them. Don't force. We can't force it. You can't force any response. But ask God that question and see if a name comes to mind. Because God will give you those names, give you that person, and help, and just pray for that person. Give that person a phone call or go out for coffee with that person. We have to respond to suffering well. Just to close our time together. Job talks to us in Job 13:15. What an example that we all go to, right? When we think of suffering, when we think of frustration that we go through, God allowed him to go through all that. And he says in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do we trust that God's in our boat? Do we trust that even though that he may, and he does allow winds and waves and storms in our life, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The more we trust God, the more we will be transparent with others. Amen? We just need to trust. It's so simple, but yet we have this persona problem at times where we want to put on a good face. And I understand not bearing your burdens with everybody. We can't do that. That's just an impossibility. But don't sit here today, folks, and leave this place with the same burden you came in with the same storm that you came in that's inside of you, or with the same perspective on people around you that may have storms. Don't just sit back and let someone drown. And finally, the culture that in which we live in is drowning in immorality, drowning in sin, and they don't even realize it. I overheard a conversation yesterday of two people, and one was bragging to the other one about going to a huge, big bus. And they were taking a bus to Calgary to have a big party and just to hit all the bars. Just party, 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 party. And they were so excited about it. I'm like, oh my. Talk about driving into a storm. Wow. That is an encapsulation of the culture in which we find ourselves. Wow. We need to wake up, church. Understand that we need to be aware of what's going on. An interesting parallel for us as I close, and I have a few questions for you to ponder today and this week. Now, Jesus wasn't the only one in scriptures that slept in a boat. Right? A guy named Jonah. slept in a boat for a very opposite reason, right? Jesus slept because he was faithful, he was true, he had done what his father told him to do that day. Jonah slept for another reason. He slept because he was unfaithful, he was disobedient. Church, oftentimes I think we fall in the latter category. We can be like Jonah at times. God calls us to be transparent, calls us to a place to be real, to be authentic to the world around us, and we end up falling asleep. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be tired after doing God's will than resisting God's will. Amen? I don't want us to be a church that's tired because we're resisting God's will. But I want us to be, in a healthy way, tired because we're responding to his will. And that unbelief would not rise up. So some questions for us. I have some papers here for you to take home. I don't know if I can get one of the elders, maybe Gerald, if you wouldn't mind coming. And maybe Linda, could you help? There's enough here. Just some questions as you see them up there on the overhead. We need to respond. It's not just enough to listen. But now it's time for us to respond. What is this story, I'm sure, that we've learned as a kid? For some of us growing up, we know it, could quote it. But are we going to respond in unbelief? Or are we going to respond in belief? So I'm just going to hand out some papers there with those on them. And just think about it. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to reflect on those questions just by yourselves. And then I'm going to call any of you. Even as we close our service, I'm going to ask Kevin to come back in a few minutes, come up in a few minutes. But if you have a storm in your life, and maybe you prayed during that period of time in the middle of the message, and you just still are struggling, still have that storm that is raging there, or maybe you know somebody that you've been praying for, and they just need to get that storm given over to Jesus. Or maybe if you need prayer for a storm in your own life, in your body, or feeling that you just need a prayer for healing, I'm going to open up this area here, the front, and the elders will come and can pray. And if you don't feel comfortable with that, you can stay and pray in your seats. But I encourage you to come. And in coming, it's a release. It's that transparency. It's that openness to what God wants to do in your life and the life of others. So maybe, Kevin, if you want to just come, and you can just play instrumentally as we think about these questions, then I'm going to pray for us as we close. And if you have a need, come. So as you're reflecting, I just want to read you a scripture that came to me this morning as I sat in my office. Jeremiah wrote a whole book on responding to suffering, responding to and just releasing storms to him in our lives. And he says these words in Lamentations 3, 19 through 24. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. So we're going to take some time to wait on the Lord, to respond to him with these questions. And if you would need prayer, please come.